This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Monday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Cannot wait for this, 4 days. I was going to say this week, but the next 4 days.
4 days.
Monday to Thursday here. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and Greg Peterson going to join us. We get some awesome baseball insight from him, but more importantly, what's going on outside of just his handicapping world, because I know the world wants to know.
I want to know more about these running challenges, that's for sure. When I fired open a video, Matt, and saw the man running around 12 miles in his apartment, yeah, I've got questions.
We're going to get that. We're going to get some Texas Roadhouse takes from him. We're going to get all that from Greg Peterson here today. Tom Byrne going to join us. I'm sure he has thoughts on everything NBA, but this little thing that happened with LeBron James, I'm sure he's got some thoughts on that as well. Adam Burke going to come in here. Sit down with us for a couple of segments. We'll talk all things with him, not only baseball, but some football, maybe even some college football. We got all things with Adam Burke. Adam Burke, a man of many skills.
Mm-hmm. He sure is. Baseball, football. We've got what? Update to the NFL guide coming out soon. College football guide coming out. What, next week? Yeah, soon.
I got to go in and change my stuff. They sent it out, and then I just went in and I just wrote LSU straight down the entire thing.
Yeah, see, this is where Adam just finally took me off the list.
Yeah, I just went in and wrote LSU down straight the thing. Like, winner of the MAC, LSU. Doesn't matter. Big 12, LSU. So I just went in and I was like, I need to change that. Hopefully that doesn't get printed. But listen, if we don't bring anything to the table today, we are bringing some good hair today. I'll tell you what. If you don't like the takes, you can like the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Come in on the video side of things, that's for sure. But Major League Baseball saw some interesting stuff last night. The Brewers 11-2 winners over the Rockies, but that was actually not the real story in that game. The Miz, he throws the ball at a rapid rate of speed, and it's very hard to hit. And so when he does that, at the level that he was doing it yesterday, 12 of the first 13 batters get retired via strikeout. The first 7 of the game get retired via strikeout by the Miz. We were going through and looking at the pitch log, and it's just basically like 103, 104, 103, 103, sit down, kid. What he was doing to this Rockies team. And, listen, you look around, we have all of these guys that are kind of at the top of the Cy Young odds boards having put up awesome games lately. Dylan Cease just the day before had put up an awesome game. You're starting to see some of these guys really start to separate themselves, and the market being incredibly reactionary as well. So it's like, oh, good game. Boom. This guy moves to like an odds on favorite. The guy comes back and counters. Boom, we're back to about even odds with all of these things. So we're gonna have a fun little race here towards the end.
I was gonna say, I think for the next few days of you and I talking about it, I would not expect it to change, right? You're talking about how reactionary it's been, and I think reactionary the right word. I don't even know if I'd go over reactionary. Like, I think we are getting close enough to the end of the season. Every one of these starts matters so much, and there's been what, health questions out there. Miz has that great outing yesterday, and he's back out to -300 in the NL Cy Young. So maybe your time to buy on a bit of a dip for Miz might have just left you.
Yeah, and if you have any questions whatsoever about whether he's going to be available enough to get this done, well, now might be your chance. I mean, you are getting 750 on Wheeler, 850 on Sanchez, 9-1 on Sale. Chase Burns goes today, so if you want to get in front of maybe a good start for him, that's 20-1 on him. But the only thing that we do know with Miz, I mean, he does get pulled yesterday after 83 pitches, and they have said they are going to try and do some sort of innings reduction for him, some sort of pitch count, some sort of something to make sure that he is fresh. You're talking about a team here in the Brewers that now has shifted their focus of, I think we can be pretty good this year. And to the, I think we can win this division too. They think they're going to win the World Series. They think they can compete with the Dodgers with this rotation that they've got. And they've got to make sure that the Miz is healthy. And so if you believe that that's going to do enough to sway these voters to not give it to him, if down the stretch they're only letting him go 4 and 5 innings in these starts or something, well, again, now might be your chance to get in.
Yeah, and how much do the Dodgers and Brewers just pull away, right, from the rest of the NL? You get these figured out, and there's not as much pressure to go out there and roll everybody out every single day. So I think that's going to be all interesting down the stretch.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one for sure. But like you said, out to -300 over at DraftKings, and some pretty decent numbers on some really good pitchers out there in Major League Baseball. The Marlins franchise record 12 losses in a row for this Marlins team that was in the thick of the wild card race. I mean, the absolute thick of it. One of the cool, fun little stories that we had in baseball. 12 games later, 12 losses later, you go, oh man, I thought that they were going to be able to hold on. They are not. And now this Marlins team is just floundering. The franchise record 12 straight.
So Gil and I started talking about this last week. Obviously, this on the Red Sox winning streak last week. It was kind of going over the longest and shortest streaks for each team, which kind of surprised me with some of these teams that have been around forever that we'd only gotten to 15 with the Red Sox. Marlins history, obviously much shorter, Matt, but like, they've been bad. I'm kind of surprised. This is the longest streak that the Marlins have ever had.
Yeah, I know. I was a little shocked too, but then they also have had those spike seasons, right? So it's kind of like, it's not like they were this franchise that's always been downtrodden. It's kind of like they would always kind of go up and down and up and down.
And even in season, right? Yeah. In seasons, they go up and down, as you're seeing right now.
Yeah, and so it's just interesting to see that this team, 12 in a row, was in fact the record, and unfortunately for the team, like I said, right in the middle. If you were a Marlins fan, you probably were not expecting this at all. Right in the middle of that wild card race, and now that is just looking very, very bleak. If you do look over on the NL side of things, they are way down now, three games trailing, and that's three games trailing a whole bunch of other teams that are playing much better than they are. So it can be turned around for sure, but anytime you lose 12 in a row, not a good sign there. The Rays 1-0, get it done over the Guardians, and this is basically more of a, while this Rays team continues to win, in crazy fashion, a 1-0 game yesterday over the Guardians, a one-hitter against the Guardians, I might add, on that. And you look up, 62-43 for the Tampa Bay Rays, leading that division handily now. And even though everybody coming in was always like, yeah, the Rays always figure out something else. Yeah, you know, they always figure out how to get it done. There is nobody. And you can tweet at me if you can prove to me that you had the Rays at 62-43 at this point in the season ahead of all of these other teams in the AL East. And they just, like I said, they just continue to find ways to get it done. And yesterday, it happened to be with the pitching. They only needed one run because the Guardians only got one hit.
Long-term, what is your, how much do you believe in this team, both regular season and postseason?
Well, the thing is I don't think they are a team that can be incredibly active at the deadline, right? I mean, they don't have a ton of pieces to get rid of, and they don't have a bunch of guys in the farm system that's going to bring a big haul. Now, they'll probably be, and we'll talk about a trade that happened over the weekend as well, there'll probably be some little middling stuff go on, you know, but I don't think they can do anything that's going to make a splash. And look, they're proving it. They're proving me wrong. They're proving everybody wrong as it is on a daily basis anyway. Not to say that they can't get through it, but it doesn't look like they're going to be able to really outpace some of these guys that are going to be spenders, including the Red Sox, who win yesterday 6-1. So now they are four games over 500. They are 1.5 games clear in the wild card hunt now after this incredible streak that they have gone on. They make a trade and go out and bring in a right-handed bat in Curtis Meade from the Nationals, once a top 30 prospect actually in all of baseball, Curtis Meade, if you are a prospect head, you know, from way back or whatever, kind of fell in hard times. Resurgent season this year for this Nationals team, and you bring in a right-handed bat. He's a pull-heavy right-handed bat to take advantage of the wall out there in left field, Kelly. And so now you add something, because one thing the Red Sox, if you look at this streak, even though they've had this streak and as well as they have done, it's basically been on their arms. They're still 25th in Major League Baseball in runs scored. The pitching, the bullpen has been getting it done for them, not necessarily them knocking the cover off of the ball. So they needed to make an impact bat. They say they're going to be aggressive at the deadline, so there still might be moves to come. But you go out, you get a guy who's a pull-heavy, right-handed bat, having a career season for him, apparently going to slot in at second base for this Red Sox team, and probably bat right there in the heart of that lineup, probably fifth or sixth, something like that.
Yeah, that's a big ad for them, and obviously a very different team from like the Marlins, right, from just a month or two ago. And for anybody out there, I know who has been keeping track of Gil's July most wins bet, if you've got it yourself, Red Sox at 17 for the month, Brewers at 14, so looking pretty good.
Looking pretty well, especially considering they get the A's.
That's right.
Yeah, the A's have fallen on hard times. You don't talk about a team that's fallen on hard times. The A's have definitely fallen on hard times. A very interesting week here for the Detroit Tigers. They lose again yesterday to the Royals, so two losses in a row has them fall back to 50-56, Kelly. And so there might have never been a week in the history of a franchise that wasn't like the week leading, that wasn't a playoff week, that decides the future of how they are going to go more than what's going to happen to the Detroit Tigers team this week. Now, if they're able to win three or four games this week, maybe they decide, you know what, we can go after this division. You lose two more in a row, and now this whole Tarik Skubal thing becomes real yet again. I mean, this is absolutely fascinating because as poor as this division is, a couple of wins for the Tigers, they might sit in that room, and me and you are looking at each other going, maybe we might can win this division.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of this guy. Two more losses, they're sitting there going, man, we got to get rid of this guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy what this week is going to do for the future of the Tigers.
Do you really think, though, that throughout this whole process, like, there's not more going on than we're aware of? Like, is Skubal really, like, holding them hostage like this to a degree?
I think for...
Like, is there a certain... It'd be hilarious if he had, like, the cocktail napkin slide. Like, you must hit this many wins. Like, we must be this far back.
Yeah, I think if you're the Tigers, you have to sit and you have to look at this and realize... This has been a complete disaster with Framber Valdez. So he has been absolutely horrific. Can we really win a World Series this year? And if we think we can, then you got to hold on to Skubal and understand you probably lose him at the end of the year. If you come to the realization, there's no way we can get this done. You can't get nothing from the guy. You got to get something back. So again, like I said, it's going to be very interesting. This week is going to shape the future of a franchise off of a few games.
How long ago did AJ Hinch say they were every game was like a game seven?
The atmosphere's
got to be a little nutty in there.
We got some NFL news to hit. There's some craziness coming on out there. Could one of the all-time greats actually be coming back to play with the current great on the defensive line? That's a super interesting story. And still some more baseball to talk. And oh yeah, there was a golf tournament as well. Just getting started here on A Numbers Game on a Monday.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Of course, appreciate you guys listening to us here, channel 158, YouTube TV, in which, by the way, you can make your own quad box now. So go in, throw us, and when you can listen to us, watch the other three. So go in and take advantage of that feature. Yeah, VSiN Live, our VSiN Watch app, and of course, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Cleaning up on baseball, White Sox beat the Astros. Astros trying to win that pathetic AL West. White Sox still trying to hold on there in the Central. They're actually 2.5 games clear now in the Central. Is this White Sox team kind of a really good surprise coming out of nowhere? I think a year or so early on this team. They're relying on a lot of young guys, and so there's still a decent amount of baseball to be played. Can they continue to play at the level that they're playing? But a pleasant surprise there for the White Sox. The Cardinals lose to the Reds, and talking about these wild card teams that were just, you know, right in the middle of everything that have hit the skids. We just talked about the Marlins. How about the Cardinals, who were playing really good baseball? Now, not so much. 7-13 over their last 20. So they were comfortably in the conversation for the wild card. Now kind of holding on, no breathing room there for them from an injury standpoint. And this actually affects the trade deadline that's going to happen here in about a week. A's catcher Shea Langeliers, torn meniscus. Yeah. Could miss the rest of the season. That's coming from Jeff Passan. So they haven't decided quite yet, although he will be evaluated sometime this morning. So maybe we'll get news while we're on air as to what the decision is with him. But he was in the center of trade talks. He was a guy that apparently wasn't really super interested in signing an extension there with this A's team. And so they were getting a lot of calls on him, a guy that is starting all-star catcher for the American League. And then also a power bat that was hitting for average. He was taking walks. He was getting on base, all kinds of stuff here. But Those calls are not going to happen now.
Yeah, I mean, he felt like one of the bigger names, if not the biggest name, that was kind of being shopped. And, you know, as the A's are not playing as well as they were beginning of the season, sure felt like he was on his way out. So, yeah, I saw that news over the weekend.
Bummer for him, too, because he was probably like, oh, I'm going to go play for a contender. And it's like, oh, no, no, you're not. Unfortunately.
You might be here in Las Vegas, though, soon. Yeah. There's worse things that could happen.
Running the bases in Torres meniscus. It wasn't even like he's a catcher. It wasn't like a squat, a weird, like, thing that he was trying to block a pitch. Running the bases.
It doesn't sound fair. He shouldn't have to run. Catcher shouldn't have to run.
Yeah, you hit it and you just get to automatically go to second.
Yeah, he's just ghost runner.
Cody Bellinger placed on the 10-day IL there for the Yankees. So that is just another hit. The hits keep on coming there for this Yankee squad. Yet they are holding on and continue to cling to one of those wild card spots that we continue to talk about here that are so valuable right now. These teams, no one wants to go grab it. Just go out and take it. And they continue to find themselves on the outside looking in the AL East as well, as this Rays team continues to win. But Kelly, let's talk a little bit and we'll hit it again later in the show. But really quick, we got to give flowers to Jackson Coivin, a 21-year-old making his third professional start. The guy turned pro a month ago and goes out and wins this thing, shoots 25 under at the 3M Open. Now, Scottie Scheffler made it somewhat interesting there on Sunday, going and doing what Scottie Scheffler does. By the way, outright second for him, his fifth outright second
incredible
of the season for Scottie Scheffler. But it was all Jackson Coivin. This kid, he did all you can do at the college ranks and then goes and improves it on the pro stage. And you can say what you want to about the course, and there were a lot of guys going low and all this stuff like that. Well, no one went as low as he did, and no one did it as consistently as he did. And we've said on the podcast a few different times, it wasn't if but when he was going to win. I did not think it would be in his third professional start, but here we are, another young superstar on tour. Like we keep saying, golf might have never been as deep as it is right now with all of these guys that not only the proven superstars and your Schefflers and Rorys and stuff of the world, but all these guys falling in that 21 to 25 range that go out on a weekly basis. And just like Jackson Coivin, things go right, they can win a tournament.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what, Matt, you and I have been doing golf podcasts for a while now. Long Shots, go check it out this week. Rocket Classic. I feel like some of these young guys over the past few years that we've seized on, and it's kind of watch out. Some of them have kind of, you know, either flamed out or just not, maybe not gotten to the early heights that we expected. Mm-hmm. Jackson Coivin, what can you say? I mean, this is 2 months ago. He's in Auburn. This week he's anywhere from 25-1 to 40-1 to win this tournament. If you're watching at home right now, somebody liked him enough to back him up with over 100K on him to win outright at 37-1 over there at DraftKings. So that was a $4 million hit on Jackson Coivin. Good for his mother. Like, who put that bet?
I mean, seriously,
his third start, 100 grand, man. What?
Unbelievable.
But he was awesome. And I know a lot of people like us, Matt, will like to point out the golf course and how easy it was. Scottie Scheffler finished second. Like, you beat Scottie Scheffler to win a golf tournament, period. You don't have to apologize for anything.
And that win shoots him up to 70th in the FedEx Cup standings, which, by the way, is the cutoff for making the playoffs. And so there's two more tournaments left for him to hold on to that spot. And I mean, Kelly, you talk about, like we said, a guy that was in college, winning the national championship a few months ago, and here he is winning a tournament and now might make the playoffs in the FedEx Cup standings because he goes out and wins a tournament.
I did not realize he had gotten up that far. So now it's pick up a check for a win. Now the next 2 weeks, battle off and battle to stay in that top 70 for a chance to win big time money.
Just absolutely amazing. This kid is, there are a lot of young superstars in golf right now, and he is definitely one of them. Guys, NFL preseason only a couple weeks away, so we're running a football special, and this is not very long until you have to sign up for this. $175, everything we do now through the end of the Super Bowl. And of course, that includes all the football stuff that we do, but yeah, basketball season starts during then. College basketball, hockey, all those different things will all be over at VSiN.com. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe. When you do that, Kelly Bidlin, not only can you get all these guides that we put out, including the NFL betting guide, the college football guide that's coming out pretty soon, but you can also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, 425 different player profiles, projections, and rankings over there as well. Listen, you all play fantasy football, so this is just a bonus for becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. So VSiN.com/subscribe, $175 now through the end of the Super Bowl. And while we were talking football here, before we get into a couple of thoughts on the baseball slate today, Jacoby Brissett going to make a little bit of money finally, Kelly. He was in a standoff with the Cardinals. He is going to get 15.5 guaranteed. There's incentives that could take this up to $21 million for Jacoby Brissett. And look, at the end of the day, if you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, you shouldn't be making $4 million. So I understand why he was upset and wanted to get a reworked deal. That being said,
and your backup can't be getting paid more than
that. And they didn't add anything to the deal. So he will be a free agent at the end of the year. So all they did was just rework how much money he's going to make this season.
Right. I mean, I don't know. This is seeing what it resulted in, like Cardinals, really, like I actually blame it more on the Cardinals. You really, like, you had to, like, this was 2 months of arguing over this. Like, just give him a few bucks. He wants to feel a little love and appreciation. Actually put up some pretty good numbers for your team last year in a lost season. Yeah, I don't think there's mighty expectations for Jacoby Brissett this year, but I don't think there is for the Arizona Cardinals, period.
Well, hey, if this is going to push you over the edge, this is to make that bet. You can find a fat number on the Cardinals as you look at the screen right now for those watching it all along. They are the longest odds to win the Super Bowl this season. Longer than the Dolphins, longer than the Browns, longer than the Jets. They are the absolute longest shot to win it all. So if you think the signing of a happy Jacoby Brissett is going to change those tides, you can go in and get a fat number, Kelly. How about that ticket?
Man, I'm pretty
sure. Come January.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I wrote this down. So how about minus 1,400 are the Arizona Cardinals to finish last in the NFC West? If there was a yes-no market on that somehow, I might actually just, out of principle, have to take some on the other side. Like, that is minus 1,400 to finish last. Okay.
How about some interesting little scuttlebutt here over the weekend talking to Sean McVay, who decided to kind of say, yeah, man, I'm pretty excited about this potential Aaron Donald coming back thing, because, and then he gave us some little insight, Kelly. He pulled the curtain back and he said, he is putting his body through rigorous tests right now on his own to see if he feels like he can handle what an NFL season would bring. And if he feels like that his body can handle it, then there's a very real chance that Aaron Donald comes back and plays on the same defensive line as Myles Garrett. So good luck, everybody in the NFL, if Aaron Donald decides to come back and play alongside Myles Garrett. Sean McVay, of course, says if he wants to come back, we will make it work. You know, he's gonna make it work. But one of the all-time greats playing alongside the current GOAT on the defensive side of the ball could be something to see.
I don't really know where you're at on this topic, but man, ever since he walked into the practice facility and suited up to start running through things, this is happening, right? Like, I think this is happening.
Yeah,
I think at this point, I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen, because he's 35 years old. You've gone through all these off-season steps, and you're just going to wave the white flag now? Like, you dipped your toe in that far, and now you're out? Like, I don't think so, man. Like, I think he's in.
And this is a team that's already plus 550 to win the Super Bowl. Your favorites in the market. The next closest are the Bills and Ravens at 10-1. So that lets you know how much people think of this Rams team, including me. If you haven't read the Veasan guide, yeah, I'm all over the Rams. Yeah, I love them a ton.
They were the most selected team.
How could you not? You know, I mean, they're just everything on paper. Now you add him back into the mix. And here's the thing. Because you have a Myles Garrett and because you have so much talent, Kelly, he could play almost a part-time role throughout the course of the season just to be 100% for the playoffs and maybe even a Super Bowl push. And so that's the greatest thing about it for him. He didn't have to be a full-time player, I don't think.
Yep. No, I think you're absolutely right. It can at least ease him in, that's for sure.
When we come back, this guy who might be considered the GOAT in some of your eyes out there, LeBron James, decided on which team he was going to play for. We'll get Kelly's thoughts here in the odds market. How is it settled now that it's been about 72 hours since the decision?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on a Monday. Matt Brown in for Gill. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Ryan Hyatt says it feels like it should be like 9 p.m. Eastern instead, since we're on the desk together.
Hey, time change.
The
or something.
The shout out to the old primetime action days.
That's right.
On MSG.
Hey, it's good to have you back. I should have led with that earlier, man. It's good to have you back in the chair.
Yeah, back in the
chair. Haven't been here in a while.
I get 4 days.
Four days.
4 days back to Dustin on Friday. Yeah, 4 days back to Dustin on Friday. He doesn't bring the hair game that I bring, though. So
that's right. You know, that's
at
right.
least those 4 days, we got that. Jim tweets in, does say that he bet Koivin to win the U.S. at Pebble next year, and you know, did come from California. He was a California kid before he moved to North Carolina, Koivin. And so saying could be a young Johnny Miller in the making right here. So, okay. I mean, listen, this the resume obviously is there for Koivun. So if you want to bet him for big tournaments moving forward, he held off Scotty Scheffler. I mean, like he said on nine, he found himself in a bunker and he looked up and on nine is where the big scoreboard is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm standing in the bunker and I look up and it's like, oh, and then I see that Scotty Scheffler's in second place, you know, and he got up and down out of the sand.
Yep.
And made the putt, and he goes, that might have been the biggest putt of my entire career.
Sure, and yeah. It's like that's, it's not, I mean, it's, don't laugh at that, right? Like, yeah. It's Scotty Scheffler, you're trying to win your first PGA Tour event? Like,
absolutely.
Are you kidding me? Like, I would be having major issues out on the course if I saw Scotty Scheffler closing the gap between me and the rest of the field.
So LeBron decides that he's going to go to Philly, and I did a lot of kind of looking into this. I'm sure you have as well. Just right off the bat, before we get to the odds of all of this, the fit, in your opinion, if you look, let's talk about on paper. If you look at the starting five, obviously we have to assume health, even though it's probably the opposite with Embiid. The only guy maybe you could get away with assuming that he's not going to be healthy is Joel Embiid.
I was just going to say, I love that you started there, because I think for maybe the first time in the history of sport, like we might have plans to go into this season planning on not having a healthy Joel Embiid, absolutely planning out the entire season that way, and figuring out how you're going to work rotations, minutes.
It's funny because it's like every time we do a preview of a team, we have to go, obviously there are health concerns. We have to assume health. We can't assume injury, except for this one. except for this one where you have to go, okay, so maybe we assume a little injury here. Like, maybe we do bring that into play.
I think the 76ers are.
Yeah, maybe we do assume some injury with us. But let's just assume their ideal starting five that they would like to have, and we won't even say during the regular season, but rolling into the playoffs. It is a scary starting five. Would you not agree?
Hey, absolutely. I think that's the most fascinating part of it is the Joel Embiidness, right? And how does he fit in regular season and more importantly, postseason? Because I do think, we're joking about it a little bit, I think the goal of the whole regular season is going to be LeBron, Joel Embiid, see in the playoffs, right? Play when you can play. It's going to be, I mean, look, people that were getting upset about load management over the past few years, oh boy, buckle in, right? Like, this is going to be Joel Embiid, not see you on any back-to-back. LeBron James, whenever you want to play, probably not on any back-to-backs.
And if you're the team, you call Adam Silver before the season starts and you go, hey, man, we don't want any nonsense from you or whatever. Would you rather have LeBron playing in the playoffs and Embiid playing in the playoffs, or him, you know, you getting mad at us because he sat on some random game in Minnesota in the middle of the year or whatever? So like, no, like, dude, I don't want to hear any of this stuff from you. We're going to do what we have to do to make sure that this team is intact when we get to the playoffs.
I think that could become an interesting conversation, but I don't know how you turn to a commissioner with a straight face, say, this gives us the best chance to win a championship. This is why we're doing it. Are you really going to get punished for that? I don't know. We'll see. I mean, they might put that to the test, but I think it's fascinating, Matt, because I think that, I mean, even if we were just talking 5 years ago, right? You, and this is still my reaction to this roster, but you look at it and go, my God, you're going to want to play at speed, play fast. These guys in the open court got to help you. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, one of the best fast court players that we have, up-tempo players that we have. You got Jaylen Brown, LeBron James. I mean, these guys are built for this stuff. Run and gun. Go as fast as you can. And I think wherever Joel Embiid is left, if he's left dragging up the floor, fine. You could go push with four. Or him out of the lineup, obviously, you can design these fast break lineups to really take advantage of. So I think, I don't have any concerns about the 76ers in the regular season, because I think if anything, Matt, they're going to get a lot of easy buckets and easy wins just playing basketball that way.
If you look, and even if you're going into a game without both Embiid and LeBron, the other three of the big five, you can almost say at this point, the other big three that you've got, games that, can they not win a game? The Nets, the Bulls, the Bucks, probably the Wizards.
With
who
no
are going
LeBron
to get rid
or Embiid?
Of,
yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these are games that, like, they're probably, when the schedule comes, they're going to target and say, okay, this is an obvious rest spot. Mm-hmm. This is an obvious rest. And now, like, they're going to start doing the calculations and figure out how many games can we win and still get where we want to be heading into the playoffs, while also making sure that these dudes aren't running themselves to death. People, LeBron is over 40 years old.
Yeah.
Embiid has had 7,000 surgeries and all kinds of rehab and all of this stuff like that. Like, you can't just go out there and run him to death, and it's going to be frustrating at times. I get it. Go ahead, write your articles already about how, they've only played, the five have only played together 9 times this year and all this. It's probably going to happen. It's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I do. I think from a basketball standpoint, I think one of the more in franchise development standpoints, I think most interesting thing here is how is Tyrese Maxey handled going forward? I think everybody wants to know about, what about LeBron? What about Jaylen Brown coming in? Tyrese Maxey is a franchise player, you would think, and a young franchise player. And I think you're set up actually very good on 3 different timelines now, right? You kind of get the LeBron Embiid timeline, then you have the Jaylen Brown timeline, then you kind of have the Maxey VJ Edgecombe timeline. I think the only concern that I have with this construction of this roster is, there a chance that we set back that final development from Maxey and Edgecombe? And that concerns me a little bit, but I think because of how many games LeBron and Embiid are going to miss, I just don't think it's going to matter much in the regular season. Now, maybe their roles get minimized a little bit in the postseason. Maxey might not be happy with that long term, but I think it figures itself out.
So if you had a ticket before this was announced, you were holding about a 20-ish, 21, 22-ish, something like that to one. That gets cut in half down to about 9 right now after LeBron signs to win the Eastern Conference. It was about 7.5, now down to about 3.5 to 1. To win the division, it was about 4.5, now down to a little over 2-1. And then the win total did tick up 2 wins to 50.5. And so if you're kind of wondering about that and you're saying, okay, well, what exactly does 50.5 mean? If you look over in the Eastern Conference, the Pistons got 60 wins last season. The Celtics got 56. The Knicks got 53 and the Cavs got 52, and that's it. So 4 teams eclipsed this 50.5 to got to 51 wins that would get them over. And if you look here, the talent they have on this team, even if we are talking about toggling some of these guys in and out and load managements and stuff like that, if you take a look, I mean, if the Cavs got there last year, the Raptors were only 4 games off of this pace last year. I don't think it's crazy to think they could still win 51 games, even with LeBron and Embiid being in and out of the lineup.
Absolutely. It would not be an under bet for me. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be in on the over. I've made a couple win total bets.
I think it's about right.
I think it's about right. You know, Gil and I were kind of guessing, where does this win total jump to? This is exactly where we were guessing the number was going to be at, 50.5. I think, though, as far as a regular season team goes, and when we're talking win totals, that's what we're talking, obviously, I have more faith in them hitting 55 plus than any other team out there.
Oh yeah. See, this is one where we're doing all this assuming for load management and all this assumption stuff and whatever. If that doesn't happen, then you would want to be on the alt over. Like, so just like you just said. So what if LeBron knows, even though it was a 2-year deal and that was just to be able to split up the money and stuff, like, he knows this is his last run, right? And this, he's going to give it one go. What if LeBron's like, no, man, I'm going to play as much as my body allows me to play. Like, I'm going to get there as many times as I possibly can.
Like the last hurrah. Like, this is my last year. I'm going to play every minute that my body will let me.
That will let me.
That could happen.
And
Joel Embiid could just magically be healthy for once.
And then if that's the case, then like you just said, maybe it's an alt over as opposed to just betting the typical over here, because I think that are you trying to tell me they can't get to the same win total if that's the case that the Cavs got to last year, or that the Knicks did in the regular season and all that? I think absolutely they could.
I think this applies to almost any of these other teams near the top in the East, Matt, where if I'm thinking over, I'm probably thinking alt over too, because you better be, if you're betting an over in the East, you better be damn sure about that team and pretty sure about what the rest, how you feel about the rest of these teams. And I think there's, looking at some of these win totals that have come out, I just think there's tough with how many good teams are in the Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah, it's not going to be a walk in the park. I know a lot of people were saying, like, well, of course he's going to go to the Sixers. He's got to get over into the Eastern Conference. It's not as easy as it would have been if you even were looking at this a year ago or 2 years ago. It's just not that cut and dry.
The body of the conference, this is where I think we get this switch. We get this switch in almost, you know, a lot of sports very often, almost every year, right? The East, 2 through 10 is stronger than
deeper.
The West.
Yeah, it's deeper. The West is top heavy. Yes. The West is super top heavy, but it's deeper in the East.
Exactly. So you got to go through multiple playoff rounds against good teams.
And you got to battle all that stuff out. And again, that takes its toll. So it's not just like, oh, yeah, of course he went to the East because it's an easier route to a championship. I think he went there because he looked at those other 4 guys and said,
Yeah,
I think maybe I can get this done with those guys. We'll wrap up this conversation, look at a baseball game or two, and then head country clubbing. Yeah, we're going to head to the Rocket Classic.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Continuing this NBA discussion, LeBron heading to Philadelphia, and Kelly, whenever we look at this and the odds board for everything, Knicks plus 330, so still the slight favorite to win the Eastern Conference. Do you agree with them not overtaking the Knicks?
I'd have the 76ers as the favorite, but 1-2 right there, as the odds indicate. Mm-hmm. They're a little both over 3-1. Then we have a drop to 6-1. I do think they should be in a tier by themselves, those two teams.
Yeah, I do believe that they are certainly the cream of the crop. But when you look down a little bit further, and obviously we can remove the Nets and the Bucks and the Bulls and all of that from the discussion.
But that's about it, though.
Are there any, I was going to say, are there any of these bigger numbers that are at least somewhat intriguing? I mean, like, so Indiana, I think the forgotten team here in this, at 16-1, it's going to be a completely different Pacers team that takes the court than what we saw this past season.
Yeah, 100%. They are a team that, man, I haven't gotten to the window on over the win total yet, Matt, because it hasn't really moved.
Yeah.
But it's I talked earlier about the Eastern Conference overs and be careful. That's part of the reason why I haven't pulled the trigger yet. It's right. It's what there's no reason to rush on some of these, right? Like, correct. I kind of want to see what else. There's going to be another wave of free agency here, right? Like, there was LeBron holding up a bunch of these next moves. What happens with Draymond Green? What happens with DeMar DeRozan? What happens with a couple of these other
names? Do any of these floated trades end up happening or not?
Yes,
Does Anthony Davis actually move somewhere or whatever? You know, all of this stuff is still to happen.
Absolutely. So I think that specifically for teams like Pistons, Raptors, Heat, I mean, Raptors, because Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, we still don't. I mean, I'm assuming he's there, but that still needs to be finished. Pistons, Raptors, Heat, I guess I have the most intention out for them possibly doing something here. And Raptors, Heat, you can convince me. You can convince me. You have the pieces, but you do need to add a little bit more here. I do think Pacers are probably one of the more slept on. The other one I'll bring up, Matt, I was not high on this team a year ago, but if you remember where they were at last offseason in this conversation, the Orlando Magic. I mean, have we just dropped from thinking they were a top 3-4 team entering the East last year to they're out of the playoffs completely? And I think they still got some talent there. So those would be two, I guess, a little bit further down the board that do jump out to me.
Yeah, and you know, again, some moves still to be made. Now, those moves could just be everyone staying put. But, I mean, there's still decisions to be made in all of this that could certainly change the landscape of not only the Eastern Conference, but the Western Conference as well. I mean, who knows? We'll move on to baseball after this. What do you make of this Anthony Davis stuff?
I think he's probably staying put at this point.
Okay.
I absolutely think his name was being floated out there with LeBron James stuff. I don't really know that we ever got a true indicator from Washington, though, that he was ever really in conversation. So I think now that LeBron's settled, and you know Philadelphia isn't going to go at him, obviously, I think he stays put.
I heard some people who were, you know, wanting to throw out the crazy scenarios of, well, what if you traded Embiid for Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
And whatever. And like, okay, so one injured guy for another injured guy? I mean, like, what's the upside there?
I mean, you think you're getting a little bit better defense. You think you're getting a little bit more availability.
I get it
that the conversation for Washington is whatever, it doesn't matter, it's just a contract we can move off of, a big contract that can open up space for us, but like, I think if you're Washington, I think you could still get a little bit more out of Anthony Davis than what you can plan on getting from Joel Embiid.
I'm not an Embiid backer, I'm not a Sixers fan, none of the things like that. I will say, this past season, I mean, an appendectomy.
Oh, so many of these things, man. But you know what I'm saying? Bell's palsy, but you know, right?
It's not like, oh, he's missing again because of a knee. And, you know, I mean, it was an appendectomy. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's unfortunate. you can't really say injury prone when it's an appendectomy.
Well, the problem is because he does have the knee thing going now. If you go back on Embiid's career, a lot of the injuries are just odd and
little
flukes.
Weird things. Yeah. Yes, little weird things. And so, again, I just don't. This past season, I don't think it was in a huge indicator of all of that. All right, over Major League Baseball, I do have a few different thoughts here, a couple of different plays that I want to get to. Diamondbacks and Pirates, I'm playing over 8.5. I think that has predominantly moved to 9. So obviously that's just going to increase your push equity there in that one. Let's see, are there any 8.5 still available out there?
Hurry up, I'm seeing 9.5.
Oh, yeah, they're, oh, goodness gracious. So a lot of people came to the same conclusion I did. Which is the fact that both of these starting pitchers are incredibly hittable. Merrill Kelly and Mitch Keller coming in on pretty terrible streaks here. And not only that, they just don't miss bats. You're getting a bunch of hittable pitches, contact there. And then also you look at this Pittsburgh bullpen, one of the absolute worst in all of Major League Baseball. That's actually going to be an interesting decision that they've got to make as we head towards the trade deadline too. Do they actually think that they can do anything this season? Because if so, they're going to have to do something to upgrade that bullpen. And in order to do that, they're going to have to give up some sort of young piece of something, right? And so they are really young pitching staff. When you talk about Skeens and Bubba Chandler and Jared Jones and Ashcraft and all the stuff like that, that being said, someone's going to have to go. It's not going to be Skeens, I can promise you that. But like someone's got to go if you're going to go and try to really upgrade that bullpen. So we'll see what the Pirates end up deciding. But as far as today goes, I like the over. That being said, 9.5 really changes the calculus on this, Kelly, because if you only got to get to 9, you know what can't happen? A 4-4 game. So like you can get it across to 9, and that is such a big number there when it comes to total. So unfortunately, it seems like that ship has sailed. But maybe monitor it before this thing gets going. Maybe somebody comes back in on the other side or something like that.
Yeah, the Pirates team, I think they are going to be one of the more fun teams to watch here as we head towards the trade deadline, and then whatever they look like afterward. Because, I think they're kind of in position now, right? Like, you got to make a charge here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think – you know what's really weird, too, when you, like, think of Pittsburgh as a city? And they are referred to as one of these small market teams, and you're kind of like, but it's Pittsburgh. Like, that didn't seem like a small, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like small market team to me. Like, it should be like mid market or something or whatever, but like, certainly not small market. But with what you've got going right now, by the way, Spencer Horowitz, a guy that doesn't really jump off the page to somebody who doesn't follow baseball, he's probably coming off the IL here in the next few days as well. He was having a really great season for them. So that adds another bat into the middle of that lineup. I think you have to go for it, but maybe they look at it and say, we're still 1 year away, and they don't do something drastic. But the problem is let's say you wanted to be super aggressive and go after a guy like Mason Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might be too late if you can't wait a year. Someone's going to get him at the trade deadline, or at least make super aggressive offers to try to get him from the Padres. And so if you're going to try to do that, you got to do it this year or it's going to be gone. Right. And so like, there's some decisions to be made, certainly for the Pirates as well.
Pittsburgh, you're 27th. Largest television market.
Well, that'd be mid-market, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that'd be mid.
Top 30 market.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why are they always referred to as small? I don't know how much payroll they can take on a small market team. I'm like, it's Pittsburgh.
Bigger than Baltimore, San Diego, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Milwaukee.
I want to hear none of this. How much money can they take on stuff? I don't want to hear any of that stuff anymore.
Las Vegas would be the smallest market baseball team, actually, I think.
Oh, really? Look at that.
Yeah. Unless I'm missing someone. Probably missing someone.
We'll
figure it out here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Figure out what team I'm missing.
We'll get that figured out. Guys, calendar never stops at Sharp Plays. They cover it all. Been winning for 15 straight years. It's all documented and posted publicly over at sharpplays.com. Respected, watch, and feared. Start winning with them over at sharpplays.com. So, Kelly, another frustrating golf tournament this past week for both of us. We had Ben Coles. I also had Michael Brennan. I had one of the guys who figured out how to shoot over par on Sunday in Michael Brennan. Everyone destroyed the course. Michael Brennan goes out and shoots over par. Ben Coles can't putt it in the ocean. And yet another close but no cigar for us here in this golf season that has just been, it seems like continues to tease us. And doesn't want to give us the goods more times than not. But like we said, two more tournaments for guys to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, big. Ben Coles, I didn't really think I'd have to sweat out a top 10 finish at the end there, but it did. It did get that one home, thankfully. Got top 10 finish home, hit on the first round leader on Ben Coles, so that was good. Yeah, I know this has been torture for you on some of these tournaments, man, but it is past 4 weeks, man. It's been actually a pretty good run for me, man. Pretty good run.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a little up and down roller coaster wise. We could have gotten Sam Burns home at the Open, obviously. Could have been a lot bigger, but you and I mean, we do a podcast talking about it. Sometimes betting golf outrights, you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you're getting at least some bigger names here this week. You're going to get Cam Young, Xander, Goddard, Wyndham Clark, Siwoo, Cantlay. They're all going to be in this thing. Obviously, Koivun's going to be there because he's going to try to hold on to that top 70 spot and move into the playoffs. You got Russell Henley, Ben Griffin, Jake Knapp, who, by the way, finally put a round together since the injury. A guy that you and I were betting a ton at the beginning of the year, got hurt. Season looked like it was just falling off the rails. Maybe there's something there. Maybe he can ride a little bit of the momentum.
That finish stuck out to me. That's for sure. I had someone to watch down the stretch here.
If it's
this
a guy,
is a good field this week.
I was going to say, it's something that I think we might end up on a couple of the same plays. Who knows? When we come back, we're going to talk to Greg Peterson, not only about baseball,
hoops,
but running. And we've already gotten a little bit of slander here about Texas Roadhouse. We'll see how Greg feels about that. Whoa. Don't go anywhere. Numbers game here on a Monday.